الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. All praises due to Allah and may His peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I begin by greeting you again, saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We had a big meal and I'm very sure we can do better than this. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, very good. Inshallah, we are still continuing. We are continuing, inshallah, and I will move a little bit fast on this one, about the shackles that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to remove. And we said that one of the missions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to liberate and free us from two types of slavery: the external slavery as well as the internal slavery. And many times the internal slavery is far more severe than the external slavery. And we said that there are different types of internal slaveries. And we said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every time he woke up in the morning, he would ask refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, save me, liberate me, or I seek refuge in you from these things." And we talked about some of them. Inshallah, we are going to continue with that. The next two shackles that we have are actually the strongest and they are the most dominant. And this is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-ghammi." Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from anxiety, worry, and sadness. I'll explain to you what the word "ham" means in Arabic. One time a group of people, they got together and they started thinking to themselves and they said, you know, Ali ibn Abi Talib, the nephew of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the cousin of the Prophet, said that he was a very smart man. And they said, let's put a question and let's ask Ali. Let's think of the question ourselves first. Let's answer it and then let's see what Ali says. So they sat there and someone suggested, he said, why don't we ask Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, about the strongest thing that was ever created by Allah? If you were asked right now, just think about it. What do you think is the strongest thing that Allah created? So they started thinking about it. They said mountains. And as they are talking, Ali ibn Abi Talib walks in. And they say, oh Ali, what is the strongest thing that Allah ever created? So Ali points out all 10 fingers like this. And he goes, 10 things. The strongest 10 things that were created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said the mountains. They've been there for ages and ages, standing there firmly. But then he said, metal cuts down the mountains, therefore metal must be stronger. But then he said, fire melts down the mountains, therefore fire must be stronger. But then he said, you can put off fire if you use water, therefore water must be stronger. But then he said, it's the clouds that carry the water, so the clouds must be stronger. But then he said, it's the wind that actually moves the clouds, so the winds must be stronger. So we're not talking about tornadoes here, we're talking about just a wind that is strong enough to move the clouds. But then he said, the son of Adam, if he holds tight to whatever he's wearing, he can defeat that, so he must be stronger. But then he said, alcohol and intoxicants, they defeat the son of Adam, and it must be stronger. But then he said, if you sleep, intoxicants no longer affect you or impact you, therefore intoxicants must be stronger. Then he said, but if you have ham, you will never be able to go to sleep. And then he said, the strongest thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever created is ham, anxiety. You following? And the way ham is in Arabic, it is about worrying about the future. Where gham is extreme sadness about the past. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you. I do not want to be a prisoner of the future, and I also don't want to be a prisoner of the past. Some people, subhanallah, so sad about what happened yesterday, so worried about what will happen tomorrow, they forget to live today. They literally forget to live today. They are prisoners of two worlds. Too sad for what took place yesterday, and too worried about what will happen tomorrow. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, oh Allah, I do not want to be in that position where there is anxiety in my life, where there is gham in my life, or where there is hum in my life. And subhanAllah, Islam teaches this position so beautifully. And that is what took place yesterday. SubhanAllah, there is nothing that you can do about it. What took place yesterday is gone. SubhanAllah, there is really nothing that you can do about it. Or as they say today, you know, shouldn't be crying over spilled milk. Now, Islam does not want you to be cold or insensitive or desensitized. Feel bad about what happened yesterday. Cry over what happened yesterday. You know, be sad for what happened yesterday. But do not let it control your life. You following what's happening? Of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until the very last days of his life, he would remember Khadija. You'd remember Khadija. You know, this is someone that died such a long time ago. But every now and then, he would remember Khadija. May Allah be pleased with her. One time, a woman comes home while Aisha is there. So the Prophet ﷺ gets up and greets her so well. And he talks to her so well. And he asks about her family. He asks about her children and how things are going and how things are happening. And then Aisha she's interested. You know, who is this woman that the Prophet ﷺ is being so hospitable to? So as soon as she leaves, she said, "O Prophet of Allah, who is this woman?" So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ya Aisha, innaha kanat ta'tina ayyam Khadija." He said, "O Aisha, this woman used to visit us when Khadija was alive." And then he said, "Wa inna husn al-ahdi min al-iman." And that is so beautiful. He said, "And being loyal to previous relationships is a sign of iman." SubhanAllah, that is so beautiful. Or a woman by the name of Hala, she would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the minute he sees her, he would get up, let her sit where he was, and he would just greet her so well and so beautifully. And they would say, "Who is she?" And he said, "This is the sister of Khadija, Hala. Her voice sounds, it reminds me of the tone of Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her." So the idea is, some sorts of sadness are good, alhamdulillah. And they really say that you are a human. And that is part of being human, subhanAllah. But the Prophet ﷺ would feel bad for, you know, the loss of his children. He would feel bad for the loss of his companions. And that is, but it should not take over your life. Okay. Similarly, not all anxieties are bad in Islam, by the way. Some anxieties are very good. Anxiety over what's happening to the people of Iraq. Anxiety over what's happening to the people of Kashmir, of Palestine, of Afghanistan. This is a beautiful anxiety. Because what it says is that you care. You care, you are considerate. You feel the pain of other people. In fact, this is a healthy type of anxiety. That's why the Prophet ﷺ would say, "Man lam yahtamma bi amri al-muslimin, falaysa minhum." He who does not concern himself with the affairs of the Muslims is not one of them. You're not one of us. If my affairs does not concern you, you know, most people, they have a misunderstanding. So, well, it's, you know, it's none of my business. I just don't want to get involved in Islam. It's haram to be nosy. And, you know, that's our way of cheating ourselves of being responsible and fulfilling our moral obligations towards our brothers and sisters. I don't come to the masjid. You know, subhanAllah, maybe the brother's got business. I really don't want to bother him. No, that's not the spirit of Islam. Feeling anxiety over where I am and how come I'm not showing up, that is something that is nice and to be said. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do this. You know how it's a sunnah, the minute the imam finished salah, what do? You turn to people. And what do? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would see who is present and who is not. So one day he misses one of his companions, his name was Thawban. And he asks, "Where is Thawban?" And they say, "Prophet of Allah, he is at home, feeling very ill." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes and he says, "Thawban, I haven't seen you for some time, what happened?" He said, "Prophet of Allah, I love you so much that I will be with you in the same gathering and I already miss you." Now when do you miss a person? When do you miss a person? When you don't see them, right? But Thawban is telling the Prophet that I am sitting with you and I already miss you. Okay? And then he said, "Prophet of Allah, I love you so much that one day I was thinking to myself that you are a prophet and your degree in heaven will be so high that I won't be there. So even if I make it to Jannah, I won't see you as often because I will not be at the same level with you. And God forbid, if I ever make it to the hellfire, I'll never see you. I got so depressed over this issue that I got sick." What does the Prophet ﷺ say? The Prophet ﷺ smiles. And what does he tell him? "Ya Thawban, yuhsharul mar'u ma'a man yuhib." He said, O Thawban, a person will be resurrected in the company of those whom he loved in this life. In other words, be selective about the people that you love. And the companion said that no statement of the Prophet ﷺ made us happier than that statement, because we knew that our love to Muhammad ﷺ was certain and was sure. Concerning for the affairs of the Muslims, having anxiety over this, subhanAllah, is beautiful. Beautiful, because it really says a lot about the person. The person cares. The person is concerned. The person is alive. The person is sensitive. And this is good. But the type of ham that Islam forbids is ham over, let's say, nonsense. It's a beautiful board, by the way, and it looks very clean, mashallah. Can't put anything on it, though. Okay. But what happens is that some people, what happens is that they're so worried about what might go wrong in the future. So what they do is that before it happens, before the wrong takes place, what do? They expect the worst, they live it, and they do not deal with it. You following what I'm saying? They are worried about something that might go wrong in the future. They start thinking about it. They expect the worst of it. They start living it. It has not taken place, and they never come out of it. You know how like someone is trying to cure the headache before they get the headache? Never mind. Okay, it's like, it's a, you know, literally, someone is trying to take care of a headache before they even get the headache. One time, subhanAllah, I was dropping someone to the airport. Okay? I'm very relaxed when it comes to airports. If I miss this flight, subhanAllah, I take the next one. There's nothing available today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. So I'm very relaxed. So, he wants to be there at 4 o'clock, 4 a.m. So I said, fine. 4 a.m. is, khalas, inshallah, I'll take you there. We were there at 4:10. Okay, his flight was like around 9 o'clock or something like that, okay? So anyways, so we make it there around 4:10. So now we're, you know, waiting for the bus to take him or the shuttle to take him there. And he starts telling me, you know what happens if I miss this flight? I'll probably not make it there today. You know what happens if I don't work today? I'll probably get fired. Oh my God, who's going to feed my family? And the rent has not been paid. And the brother started, subhanAllah, living that and has not taken place yet. And subhanAllah, many people are like that. They go into hum, anxiety over what might go wrong. The wrong has not taken place yet. Now, a good defense mechanism is that you do expect the worst, you know, but you deal with it before it happens so that you are prepared for it. But you never go, expect the worst, live it, and don't do anything about it. And many people, subhanAllah, lives are wasted over this issue. People going into, you know, the most common mental disorder, I can't really say mental disorder, but the most common mental challenges that people go through would have to be anxiety and depression. Not only that, subhanAllah, but with anxiety, the people who have, you know, to really appreciate the statement of Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, to really appreciate that statement, here's what goes wrong with a person who's got anxiety. Their heart rate, the minute they start thinking about, you know, they get their hum, their heart rate goes and starts pounding so bad that they almost suffocate. They start sweating. They're very agitated. They cannot sleep. In fact, they are so worried that some of them are truly shackled and imprisoned at home. They get phobias. You know, they're just afraid of almost anything. They are prisoners of in their own houses. So this happens, and the Prophet ﷺ says, Oh Allah, do not shackle me. Or I seek refuge in you that I become a prisoner of the future. SubhanAllah, you know, the kind of life that is promoted in this society is a life that really pushes people into anxiety. You know about the American dream? We are all trying to achieve the American dream. No, I'm serious. Aren't we all here to achieve the American dream? SubhanAllah, opportunities and what have you. So someone came and they just made this observation. He said, you know what? I think I know what the American dream consists of. Here is what the American dream says. American dream says, make up for the past, secure the future, and enjoy the present. It sounds very good. Wallahi, it sounds good. Said, make up for the past, secure the future, and enjoy the present. Now that's beautiful, but that's a one heck of a stressful life. To live that way. trying to make up for yesterday, trying to secure tomorrow, and at the same time enjoy today. That's a very stressful life to live. It's an extremely, extremely stressful life to live. But what the Prophet ﷺ tells us, subhanAllah, is that what you have in your hand right now is today. Do something with today. Do you have any guarantees that you'll be here tomorrow or not? Can you do anything about what took place yesterday? What is at hand at this point? It is today. What is at hand is today. So make use of your day. Make use of today. Worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes. Please do not take this out of context. I'm not saying that do not plan or do not. But I'm saying that do not start dealing with the headache before you get the headache. Because that's an extremely, extremely stressful life to live. Also the Prophet ﷺ would tell us, you know, it was mentioned in the Athar, forgot the authenticity of this, but the Prophet ﷺ would say something like, you know, sort of anxiety, إِنَّ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ مَا لَا يُكَفِّرُهَا إِلَّا الْهَمُّ فِي طَلَبِ الْمَعِيشَةِ. So that, you know, some of the sins are purified, or they are atoned for, or they are taken care of, by just being in ham of, you know, just your daily affairs. Trying to secure your daily affairs, he said, that is something that is liked in Islam. Trying to provide for your family, trying to do, mashallah, that's a beautiful anxiety to have. But that should not be the focal point of your life. So the Prophet ﷺ said, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from ham, and I also seek refuge in you from gham. Not a prisoner of the past, and definitely not a prisoner of the future. Subhanallah. And then Muhammad ﷺ goes on and says, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from al-jubni wal-bukhl. And we talked about fear earlier. But also the Prophet ﷺ said, O Prophet of Allah, I do not want to be shackled by greed, by being stingy. And subhanAllah, you know, you can almost see that there is a relevancy between being a prisoner of the future and also being stingy and being greedy, because you are so afraid of what might go wrong tomorrow. How is this shackling you? That you either go into ham, or at the same time you become very greedy. You are afraid of spending. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Some people do not know the joy of giving. You know, Isa alayhi salam used to say, blessed are who? Are those who give. Blessed are not the receivers, but those who give. And subhanallah, that's why Ibn al-Qayyim made a very interesting observation. He said, if a beggar ever comes to your house and knocks on your door, he said, make sure that you have the lower hand. You know how the Prophet ﷺ says that the upper hand is better than the lower hand? He said, make sure that your hand is the lower hand and the beggar's hand is the higher hand. And the reason for that, he said, is he knocked on your door. He could have knocked on someone else's door, but he is giving you the opportunity of becoming a better person. So you should be thankful for something like this. And also, you know, subhanAllah, the way we look into this dunya really eliminates the whole issue of ham and gham from us. And it was beautifully said by Ibn al-Qayyim as well. He said, this dunya is like the shadow. If you try to catch it, or to try to pass it, you will never be able to do so. But if you turn your back to it, it has no choice but to follow you. You following? He said, this is how you feel about the dunya. This is how Muslims, you know, finally say, what Allah has given me, mashallah, that's what Allah has given. What Allah has decreed for me, then, alhamdulillah, that's what Allah has decreed for me. But that really affects how, you know, we feel about this. So here we have Islam is telling us, you know, have the courage also to spend and to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taste the beauty of giving. Subhanallah. And in doing so, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, do not belittle any act of goodness. Even if it be half a date that you share with a person. SubhanAllah, sometimes, you know, we limit charity to material things, like give, you know, or when you donate, we think that you can only donate money. But SubhanAllah, it's amazing what you can donate. Wallahi, it's amazing what you can donate. How about donating time? You know, sometimes people, and this is so sad in the States here, how about donating an attentive ear to someone that just wants to talk to someone? You know, it's gotten so bad, so bad. I'm reading this book called Devoicing Society, Why We're Not Talking to Each Other Anymore. It's a book by John Locke. And subhanAllah, in it he made an observation. He said that, I think it was a group of senior citizens in Kansas. They don't have anyone to talk to. You know what they do? They go to the bank to chit-chat with the tellers. They just go there so that they talk to the tellers. You know what happened? The bank found out. And you know what they did? If you use the ATM machine, it's free. If you come and talk to the teller, it's $3. So they said, we are the voice in society. So never belittle the fact that maybe one day someone wants to talk and, you know, lending them an attentive ear. You don't have to give any suggestions. You don't have to give any advice. You just by listening to someone, subhanAllah, that in itself, that's a beautiful way of donating. Extremely beautiful way of donating. I think I told you the story yesterday of Ibn Abbas. The Prophet, when in it, he was, you know, in the masjid, he was a guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because everyone in the masjid is a guest of Allah. And he decided that he was going to go for i'tikaf. And then when a person came to him and he said, please help me out, started leaving. Then he came, another person said, you know, remember you are in i'tikaf. And then what does he say? He said, uskut, be quiet. The Prophet ﷺ said, to walk with your brother, to get something done for him, is better than making i'tikaf for 10 consecutive years. You just donated something there. Wallahi, you just donated something. You know, sometimes a brother calls, you know, I'm sorry, but I ran out of gas, I have a flat tire. You know, I'm at the masjid right now, getting me all the hasanat. Not knowing that to go and help is actually a lot, you know, more superior than you just being in the masjid. And subhanAllah, some of the most beautiful things have happened because someone showed an act of kindness. They were not bakhil, they were not stingy. You know, things that they have done. Like subhanAllah, they have the story of this young boy said that I was so hungry one day, just going around, and he said that extremely hungry. So I knocked on one door, and a young girl opened the door, and he said, I was so tired and so hungry, I didn't know what I was saying, so I said, can I please have some water? Said that she saw me, and she saw that I was very, very hungry, so she brought me a glass of milk. So they had a glass of milk, and that was the best milk I've had in my life. Years passed by, that lady, that girl, had an emergency, taken to the hospital, performed a surgery on her. She was presented with the bill, so afraid of looking at it, that when she opened it, there was a big stamp on it that said paid. And underneath of it, there was a statement, paid with a glass of milk 15 years ago. Because subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, whatever act of goodness that you do in this life will never be forgotten. And subhanAllah, it's amazing what acts of kindness can do to people. Have you heard of the medical school in Nashville, Tennessee? The Mahari school. It's a university there. Okay. 1826. A man by the name of Sam Mahari was only 16 years old. Driving his car at night, he got stuck in the mud, broke one of the axles of the car, so that he didn't know where to go. He looked around, and there was at the end of one of the cornfields, there was light that was beaming out there. So he said he went there and he knocked on the door to get some help. He was white. He said when he opened the door, it was an African American family. This is in 1826, remember. He said he explained what happened to them. He said they took me in, they gave me food, they gave me bed for the night. When we woke up the next morning, we went there, they helped me fix my car, and they let me go. Then he said, right there, I made a promise to them. He said, if I ever become successful, I'm going to do something for the African American community. About 15 years later, he became so rich with his brother, he donated $30,000. Remember, this is back in the 1850s now, okay? He donated so much money because black people were not allowed to go and have their own medical practice. They would not let them come and practice because white people did not want to be touched by blacks. So what happened is that he opened a medical school for them. As we speak today, 40% of African-American medical doctors and dentists, this is where they are trained. There is this joy in giving, subhanAllah, such a beautiful joy that a person feels because of the impact of what happens. You cannot really put any price. You really cannot put any price on this. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from just missing out on this. Because so many people, they miss out on this. So greedy and so stingy that they miss out on this. And then again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go on asking and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to liberate him, to free him from these shackles. And they'd say, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from kufr, disbelief. Because this belief is really a shackle. Look around, subhanAllah. Look around and just you see what this belief has done to people. Because of their disbelief where they are. The problems that they're going through. The problems that they have because of disbelief. So the Prophet ﷺ would say, Ya akhi, too late, shakar. So the Prophet ﷺ would say, Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from being in that position. But see, subhanAllah, many times when we speak of this, we forget about our obligations. We literally forget about, we take joy in criticizing, you know, kuffar and this and that. One time a Muslim scholar was put in prison by one of the tyrants. And to further insult him, they tied him next to a person that was not Muslim. And unfortunately, that person had diarrhea. And every time they needed to use the restroom, they would take them. They would take the Muslim scholar with him. Few days afterwards, few weeks afterwards, the guy dies. And that Muslim is crying. So people, the guard can say, you should be thankful to Allah that this person has died because you were just living in pain. He said, subhanAllah, I am dying because they missed out and they died in the state of kufr. Many times we lack out in being compassionate as Muslims. In fact, there is something that is said about us that we're very cold, or you know, the more religious you are, the more rigid you become, or the more religious you are, you know, the more firm and disciplined you have to be. But that is so unlike Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so unlike the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember the earlier story? He could have said, you know, go ahead, you know, beat them up, assalamualaikum. Okay? He could have said, no. Go ahead and destroy them and go ahead and, you know, crush them with the mount. But that was not the spirit of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.